Hey there, Pod Pals. Are you a print-on-demand creator looking to stay ahead of the curve? You want to know exactly when to launch your designs for every key season and event? How about a chuckle with an extra dad joke to brighten your day? If you said yes to any of these, then it's time to join the Print On Demand Cast VIP list. As a VIP, you'll get our free annual design calendar, an amazing guide to help you time your creations perfectly throughout the year. And of course, we'll include a bonus dad joke each week as well. Signing up couldn't be easier. Just visit printondemandcast.com/VIP and enter your email. Don't let another day of potential pass you by. Become a part of the VIP list, grab your annual design calendar, and let's dive into a year of inspired creating together. We'll see you on the other side.
Welcome back to the Print On Demand Cast. On this episode, we're going to be talking about moving from just getting started to crushing it in your POD business. Let's get into it.
Radical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Print On Demand Cast. Each week, join the gnarly Travis and Josiah as they provide insight into the print on demand industry and equip you with the totally tubular tools, advice, and strategies you need to achieve success and hopefully have a few laughs along the way. Now on to this week's totally tubular show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast about POD, the POD cast. We're happy to be back with you again, bringing you brand new content, a brand new episode. And joining me, as always, is Travis Ross from Make Your Mark Design. Travis, happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday, isn't it? Happy Tuesday to you. Hopefully your week has been going well so far. I know we chatted a little bit. Your wife's back in town. You were super dad, Mr. Dad over the last week or so. And we saw each other Friday night for a poker night, but how's things been with the wife coming back, and have you had a chance to recalibrate and things kind of settling back to the normal rhythms?
Yeah, it's been good, actually, you know, just having her back. Of course, she got back Saturday, and we've had a couple nights to just chill out and relax, and then we're kind of re-getting back into the swing of things. But yesterday was very cool that she picked up our daughter in the afternoon, because it allowed me to keep working, and which I wasn't able to do last week. I had to like interrupt my day, kind of, you know.
So it was nice. Tough. You always feel lack of production when you're like start and stop. It's
exactly.
Yeah, it can be a little tough. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I think I'm still going to help. Like I picked her up today, but Tuesday's kind of that's a normal day for me to do that. I always do that for her because she has some classes in the evening that she teaches. Right. And, so just getting into the swing of all of that stuff, and nice. Yeah, it's been good. I know you've been pretty dang busy in your day job.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I worked most of Saturday, half of Sunday. Yesterday was nuts. I was in Thornton for most of the day. And so today's been at least here, but still busy just juggling clients and all that kind of stuff. But it's been wild. Weekend was good. Again, we saw each other for poker. I got a new tattoo, which was always a good time. Mm-hmm. Which is a form of print on demand. It's just super permanent. So the most permanent. So that's how I tie that to relevancy to this podcast. But yeah, great to be back this week. We're going to be talking about moving from just starting out to crushing it. But before we do that, we're going to go to everyone's favorite weekly segment that we always crush, I think. I don't care what anybody says. It's always stellar, and that is the weekly dad joke.
Time for the weekly dad joke.
All right, Travis, got a question for you.
Okay.
Why did the dad joke cross the road?
No idea. Didn't know it had legs.
Yeah, well, to get to the other side. That's this week's dad joke. Yep. It's a groaner. you're welcome. Feel free to use that. We had so many more. Maybe one of the ones that Travis and I bandied back and forth will end up in the newsletter this week, which you can sign up for at printondemandcast.com/VIP, so you'll know what keeps us entertained when we don't press record. Do you have a bonus one right now? Or is that the one you're going to put in the...
Sure, yeah. I was helping a friend on a a house project at his house. And, you know, while we were there, he took me into his tool shed and he pointed to a ladder and he said, "That's my step ladder." And then he said, "I never knew my real ladder." You're welcome.
If you're offended by that joke, I completely agree.
So, yeah. Okay. So you got a bonus one on this one, but you also get a third bonus one. How about that for this week by going to printonamancast.com/VIP and you'll get that extra as well. Awesome. So super excited to get into what we have today and peeling back the curtain a little bit more, Travis, you and I, in a couple of hours, are going to be watching some hockey front, like on the ice. It's going to be a good time. So before we do that, though, we have to dispel knowledge and information to those that are listening to us and who trust us with such responsibilities, which is incredible to me.
You devil.
So, okay. So we're going to go first. We have a new piece of equipment we're going to talk about in this week's Point of Interest.
Well, howdy, partner. Welcome to the Point of Interest part of the PODcast. So grab your hat and hold on tight because we got some learning to do.
I always pull up my headphone for that last part.
Do you? Really?
Wow. So loud every time.
I've been inoculated, I think.
It doesn't bother you. So, Travis, a couple of weeks ago, before you left to Atlantic City, New Jersey, we talked about Epson and the F-1070 because you were hoping to maybe get eyes on that beast, but you didn't. Yeah. But now it turns out that Epson has released yet another new additional piece of machinery that if you're wondering, yes, the model number does start with an F, and yes, it is followed by four numbers. The F-2270. So
yeah,
what we're going to do for you guys listening is kind of break down the differences between the F-1070 and the F-2270, the two kind of newest releases from Epson, both of which are DTG and DTF friendly.
Right.
Which, of course, we've listened to the show for any length of time, you know. We've talked a lot about DTF because it is the new kid on the block and a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people are interested. So Epson's finally delving into that game. So Travis, talk to us a little bit about just some quick fundamental differences between the 1070 and the 2270. What does the extra 12 numbers of increase in the model number actually represent?
Well, before we go any further, just so you, those of you who don't know, DTG is direct to garment. DTF is direct to film. So you do it to a film and then you use a heat press to actually press the film, which has the image onto the shirt, as opposed to using pre-treat and then putting it in the actual machine and it goes in and it actually prints on the garment. So those are the two differences. These are all, both of these machines will do both because they're both shipped with Garment Creator. It's Epson's RIP software. Garment Creator 2 is their newest and latest and greatest version that has basically a toggle button that you can turn on if you want to do DTF instead of DTG. So they kind of put that in there. Otherwise, it's pretty similar to Garment Creator 1, which is what we were both running at our shops when we were operating back in the day.
Yep.
As far as the differences? Well, I mean, we did talk about the F-1070 having it ships with a small platen and it can't go any larger than a 10x12. But to be fair, 10x12 is still a decent print size for like a regular graphic that you're going to put on a shirt. It's not like NASCAR or something that's taken up the whole shirt front or anything like that, but you can still get a lot of good graphics and a lot of cool graphics out of a 10x12. The F-2270 ships with a 14x16 and can go up to a 16x20. So it's similar to the F-2100, which technically it's replacing. You can still get a 2100 while they're still in stock. I don't believe they're manufacturing them anymore, though. I could be wrong, but they've pretty much switched their Epson switched their manufacturing to the F-2270, which is its replacement. Ink capacity, as we said, the 1070 is 250 milliliter, and they are bulk system. They're a bag on a tray, basically. So you slide that tray inside, and it's got a bulk bag. So which is better than cartridges like the 2100 as far as like getting every last drop of ink out of there. It's just easier for the machine to pull that ink than it is in a cartridge. You always have a little left over in a cartridge. So bulk ink systems are typically better. But this is a closed bulk ink. You can't add the ink to the bag after it's out. You got to get a new one. In the 2270, the bags are 800 milliliters. And in the 2270, there's two white bags that you have in there. In the yeah. smaller one, the 1070, it's only one white. So you're going to be going through a lot of white on that 1070 for sure. And then we did a little math and figured out the ink cost. Once you share the numbers. share the ink cost with them compared to the F3070, which is what we were both running at the end there.
Yeah, for sure. So the ink cost you're looking for the F1070 is 48 cents a milliliter. The F2270 is 34 cents. So a little more than 10 cent differential in terms of saving money and cost. But if you look at the F3070, it's 16 cents a milliliter. So obviously the ink savings is huge. Granted, the machine itself is much more expensive. And then talking about price, right? The 1070 is $69.95. The F2270 is $16,495. So about a $10,000 give or take difference in that price. And then the other is here is going to be, you know, we talked last week or the last time we talked about the F1070 that it's 4 to 5 minutes to run a shirt. So you're not necessarily using this thing at scale. Yeah. A dark shirt.
It'll be faster with a white because you don't have to put the white under base.
Yeah. Yeah. So on a dark garment, it's 4 to 5 minutes. Again, which is a lifetime when, if you're looking at trying to do volume, if it's a hobby, if it's just starting out, it might do, but as you scale, you're going to quickly find that that's the bottleneck in your system. Yeah. The 2270 is 2 minutes, for the same 10x12 dark, print. So faster, almost twice as fast. Again, I think it's pretty congruent to the 2100, as we've been talking about, from what I can remember in terms of speed of production, two and a half minutes, I felt like is what the 2100 could crank out when it was working efficiently. And as another comparison to the 3070, it is less than a minute for a 10x12 dark print. Yeah. That thing.
It was less than a minute for a 14x16.
14x16, yeah. Because it lays congruently. So the white layer and the color layer are going down at the same time, where the other printers will print the white layer and then it's got to go back in for the color. So we had a 2100 and then we had our 3070 and we would load up the same design, same specifications. We pushed the button at the same time. And the 3070 could almost print two shirts in the time that the 2100 printed one shirt. So the speed is ridiculous, but it's all about where you're at in your business. If you're looking to crank out a lot of volume and you need something that's going to spit out, you know, a shirt a minute, then the 3070 is probably going to be where you're going to want to be. But if you're just starting out, the 2100 was great, cutting our teeth and kind of learning what in the hell DTG even was in the beginning stages of our journey. But those are kind of the juxtapose the two of them to each other, what you're looking at in terms of differences.
Yeah. And they didn't even have like a beginner model or a 1070 when we were starting out. If you wanted to spend $7,000, you were buying used and it was probably used. The ink was clogged and
didn't even do white ink. Cause I know the model before didn't even really do white ink. And so you're at a disadvantage there. So with Epson in terms of what was available, it was basically Cadillac or nothing. Like they didn't have any, they had their best machine and then nothing else. You did that or you didn't, and compared it to different brands around that provided different DTG machines like Brother and Cornette and those kinds of manufacturers. Yeah. But yeah, it would have been, I mean, again, I felt the 2100 was great to start out on and was quick enough for us to feel like, okay, this is scalable. I feel like if a shirt would have took 6 minutes on our first time around, I'd be like, wow, this is going to be a process.
Yeah, I remember for a while, instead of going to another, you guys got a second 2100.
Yeah, we had two.
And then you ended up selling one of the 2100s and getting a 3070.
Yeah.
And so you had one of both there at the end. So, while that's that's great for speed. It might not have been, I don't know, like having to have two different types of inks, you know, all of that might have been a little bit of a challenge, I would think.
Yeah. And we began to kind of use the 2100 as sort of a contingency if the 3070 was acting finicky, or Jason would do a lot of the home decor pillows and wooden signs on the 2100. And so it almost became designated for tea towels and those types of things. And then the 3070, we were running Amazon, our partners, and then that big client that we had, we were running all their stuff through there. So the 2100 was kind of just repurposed solely for stuff that wasn't as urgent in terms of having to get it done and produced quickly. So check those both out. I'm sure they'll be at a trade show near you.
You would think so
at some point.
I'm so full disclosure. I believe they actually had the F2270 out. It's been out for a while. I think I just missed it. So, my apologies. Because we could have knocked all this out last time we talked about the 1070, because I think the 2270 was also out. But anyway, we wanted to compare and contrast, because I have not seen either one of these in the flesh.
You haven't got eyes on them. So,
maybe there's a possibility I'll be in Texas for the Fort Worth Impression Show.
Nice.
I'm probably going to be in Vegas for, what's it called? What's the big one?
Printing United.
And I would guess that at Printing United, Epson will be there and they'll bring out all the
All the stops on those ones.
You know. So hopefully at some point this year I'll get to actually lay eyes on these guys, and then we can do a third thing. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a good time. I feel like it'd be worth me going with you to Vegas just to do a live show from the Strip while we're walking to and fro. Asking people, what do you think about DTG, and or what do you think that means? That could
be, don't ask them what they think about DTF.
No, you definitely don't want to do that,
devil.
So, all right, so that's it for this week's main event. But we're going to transition here and go directly to this week's main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, the main event.
All right. So back in episode 172, back in the archives, which I always enjoy saying because it makes us feel makes me feel so official to say we have an art back in the archives. Episode 172, we talked about the four stages of business print on demand, and we talked about the curious, the rookie, the seasoned, and the thriving. And so we referenced the curious, I think, when we did kind of Shopify versus other platforms where you could sell. And so we feel like it's the rookie's turn to maybe take the hot seat. And we'll dig a little bit more into that stage, the symptoms, what's next, share some of our rookie mistakes when we first started in POD, and then kind of go from there. So, Travis, where do you want to start when we kind of are diving a little bit deeper into the rookie stage?
We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, I think we'd probably start by kind of identifying what this stage is. If you haven't listened to episode 172, I do recommend it. It'll kind of give you a whole overview of the whole thing, but the rookie stage, you know, the first stage is the curious. The curious is kind of like dipping their toe in the water. Maybe they've started, maybe they haven't, but they're, you know, still kind of in that place where they're not 100% sure which, you know, which tools to use, which platforms to start on, all of that stuff. The rookies have actually started. You know, you've actually, you know, if you're in this stage, you are, you've actually listed something, you've made some decisions, you know, you're probably between 10 and 100 live listings, you know, on some channel. Usually it's like it's an Etsy or something like that, or maybe you're on like a Merch by Amazon or a royalty based platform. You're kind of frustrated because it's going a lot slower than you had anticipated. You also are frustrated because it's a lot more work than you had anticipated. And you're really feeling the pressure of like creating more listings and getting more things out there, because you're the ones that you have out there aren't selling at the way, at the rate that you had hoped or expected them to sell at. So, and then you're constantly, you're kind of always in this area of like, well, I'm listening to this guy and he says to do this.
Yeah.
And this guy says to do this. So I got to change things. Oh man, I started like this and now I need to change all the way over to here. And, you know, and you're just, you're in your,
yeah, you're
just,
in your panic. Yeah. And you're reactive and you're panicky. You know, we kind of talk about it being kind of like the shiny object syndrome, kind of that same vein of like, oh my gosh, that person, okay, I just heard this podcast and they did this, so I'm going to shift everything because that's got to be the right way to do it. And then a week later, you're like, well, that guy said no about that system and that was stupid. It's like, you know, when you're looking at, you know, my wife, when she has a lot of dietary, she's got a lot of health issues. And so she's trying to, for a season, was really researching and seeing who says what and how can this help. And so she'd find one person that says the key is adding this to your diet. If you do this and eat this food group, you're going to fix everything. And it's like, I'm all in, serve it up. That's basically what we had for dinner for like 3 weeks. And then after that, there's another podcast that says that food group is actually terrible for you. You need this. Yeah. So you like get all these differing opinions. And pretty soon you don't even know really what your why is, because you're just trying to emulate everybody else's systems. And then it just muddies the waters to a point where you're ineffective. You're just as ineffective as you were when you were actually selling something and just trying the first way to see what results it would yield. And then it gets tricky. And we both know that because we've been there. We've done such things. We are them.
Yeah. So. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we could tell stories all day, but one story that I will share is like when I was starting, I started out sublimating coffee mugs in my basement. I had an Epson inkjet printer that I had converted and used sublimation dyes. That was super slow, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it at the time. It just was like, and I'm like, come on. I didn't realize how slow it was until, you know, you had 30 or 40 mugs that you had to do that day or something. But anyway, I had that. And then I had, you know, a couple of mug presses that I had bought on eBay that were kind of junky. And, I burned a lot of coffee mugs. You know, at the beginning, I had boxes and boxes of them in my other room. I probably burned over 100 coffee mugs trying to figure out what the time and temperature was for, you know, the right specific, like, I guess, what is the recipe to actually get a good print on this coffee mug. So it took a while. And then what would happen was one of these presses would just go haywire and the heating element would like overheat. And I mean, there was smoke in my basement at times as I was cooking these things or, you know, heating these up. And I had, you know, and that, so that was, that press was done. And then I'd have to get another one. And eventually I did find some really nice presses. The Heat Press Nation signature press is what I have four of them over there. And then another one. That's not a signature, but they're all Heat Press Nation. Those have been really great. We do have an affiliate link. If you ever want to get something from Heat Press Nation, go to printondemandcast.com/HPN for Heat Press Nation. And you can kind of buy it through our link and it will get a little kickback. It doesn't cost you any extra, but they do have some nice products. And I wish, you know, it's some of that stuff that you just don't know what you don't know. And that's kind of in that rookie stage. I remember trying to be organized with how we were going to, you know, use art and what art we were using to put on what coffee mug. And then when I first started, I was on Amazon and I would send two coffee mugs, every single like listing that we would create, I would create a merchant fulfilled option. So think Etsy. So if it sells, you have your print vendor, or in my case, me, you know, fulfill that. And then versus FBA, which is when you send an actual physical product, not really print on demand, because you actually print it and then send it into Amazon. Yeah. But I would bring two in for every single listing that we would create. And we would, like I say, we would have the merchant fulfilled listing, and then we'd have the FBA listing. And I remember getting, you know, some of those would sell, some of those would not, you know, the ones that we sent into Amazon. And so just learning some of that, our strategies and our, how we're going to go about this whole thing, it was quite the learning curve. It was quite the, it was painful. You know, I got so many returns, you know, because after a year, they start charging you for storage in their FBA facilities.
Right. Yeah. And where we just get like mass shipments of like,
just bring them all back so I don't have to pay for them. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, basically kind of sharing some lessons learned early on for me were, you know, I do need to be more organized. I do need to have a better strategy. And I was really pressured with like, well, how do I do this? Who am I going to look to do this? And at the time, there really wasn't anybody doing print on demand that had a podcast or had a YouTube channel aside from like merch by Amazon. You know, that was really it. And that's why we started the show. Once we figured some stuff out, we were like, man, I'll bet you there's a lot of people in our shoes. Once we moved from the rookie stage into like the next stage, was kind of when we started this show. Do you have a story of,
you felt as a rookie? I think one thing that, I mean, speaking of Vegas, right? We were in Las Vegas when I got the first client for What For Apparel, and our printer hadn't even landed. Right. So I called Jason and said, dude, this guy said we can do his merch. His podcast launches on this day. I know the printer gets there like 2 days before that. I don't really want to tell him no. And he's like, yeah, don't tell him no. So, you know, pulled the trigger, and I remember staying up at our Airbnb one night and working with my VA to get some initial designs created for them. And it was wild. So that's where we started. And so there was a lot of like things that were made out of necessity in terms of systems that were never really truly objectively looked at. And they all were absolutely 100% to meet the immediate need, instead of thinking forward about what this is going to grow into, how we can scale this. So inventory was a spreadsheet. And we just threw that up real quick. And designs, we just named the design after what the design name was, but there was no numbering system. There was nothing. And same thing with Amazon. It was just, you know, eventually like novelty, funny, duct tape design, blah, 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 or whatever. And then what ends up happening on the inventory side was I was not the one that was pulling inventory. It was the production people who were pulling inventory. Mm-hmm. And so then the count would get off. Well, why'd the count get off? Like, I don't know, man, no one updated the sheet. Like everyone has access to it. No one was doing it. I'll do it later. Never happened. So the inventory was never right. It always had to be consistently, constantly reconciled. And it was like, we need to change this. And the conversation was, we do, but later, it's working for now. We're so busy. We just got to get things. So we just ignored it and just dealt with that thorn in our side for the existence of What For Apparel. From the design aspect, what ends up happening is you get things that are incorrectly printed because how many novelty, funny, you know, for example, pickleball shirts designs do you have? Is it specified enough to know exactly? Are you matching the picture with a thumbnail that's about yay big on a sheet of paper that printed in black and white and isn't color and you don't know what the hell's happening, but you have to match it. And that looks close enough. And so the amount of misprints, the incongruencies that happened through all of that just started skyrocketing. And then you're spending more money because you're having to fix those things. You're having to get it remedied, and you have to deal with the returns. You have to deal with all of that. So eventually on the design side, we did establish a SKU system to where we knew exactly the SKU matched the ship station sheet. We just punched the SKU in. There it is, done. It was much more efficient. So that one we did readdress only after the catastrophic closing of my wife's Etsy shop, and we had to rebuild a large portion of what was happening. And so that's when we established a design, a DID, as Travis calls it, a DID system, to where we could. And then it made sense, and I could just take that same system and then just unilaterally apply it to the rest of our designs. But it was only out of necessity that we did that. Had the Etsy shop not got shut down, we might have just been running and gunning like fools the entire time, because it's so easy to get caught up in the immediate need. The, you know,
putting out the fires.
Can't see the forest through the trees. You're putting out fires to where you don't have the ability to just objectively step back and be like, that system sucks. Yeah. That one's for sure broken. And I know it's going to be a pain to redo and reassemble the system, but we're losing money. We're hemorrhaging. Like there's so much loss and negative happening because of this, that we should just reassess and bite the bullet and rebuild. So that was a lot of our rookie mistakes, was just like, it's working for now. And it'll work forever, which is simply not the truth.
It really is like, you know, kind of the e-myth thing about, you know, working in your business as opposed to on your business. And we, as business owners, get trapped so often working in our business and forget that, you know, the real money and the, you know, the long-term kind of residual, if you will, even, or just the long-term success of your business really relies on the systems that you can implement when you're working on your business. And then you can hopefully hire people to work in it, you know, maybe not at the beginning, but setting things up for where you want to be. We always talk about that too. You know, where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, set your systems up now for that. Now things will change, and you'll probably change that system because you, again, you don't know what you don't know. But if you start it like that, that's kind of your how you do things, you know, at the beginning. It's going to be a lot easier for you to actually work on your business and take a step back from working in it. And and I think that's a lot of what you see in the curious, you know. So let's get back to kind of some of the things. So, you know, you may have, if you're in the curious, you probably generated a few sales, but I'm sorry, the rookie. You're right. You've probably generated a few sales, but you're likely not even breaking even because you purchased these tools, you know, like Placeit or like, you know, to make your mockups or, some of the, you know, E-Rank or one of these, Etsy research tools that you're using. And so with your margins, you've only made a few sales. You're probably not even breaking even. Like we were talking about, maybe you don't have any organization. Maybe you do need to take a step back for a minute and think through how you're going to skew things, how you're going to name your designs, how, you know, all of those things that we talk about a whole lot. And Josiah just talked about the pain of scaling without that organization. Don't be Josiah, you know.
It's a good rule of thumb.
And so it's all about, like, you know, you're in this place where you're refining all these processes that you don't even know how they should be. Like, you don't know how you should go about creating these processes. You just know you need them. So there's a little bit of just frustration, I guess, is really the best word. And it's probably something that, you're getting, it started out as a side hobby, and maybe now it's kind of like, oh, you're tempted to just lay it down because you don't have a lot of time to deal with it. And it's not producing the results you thought it was. You're doing all the work yourself. You don't have any help. You know, you may or may not have the support of a loved one or a friend or anybody, because they've already told you, oh, that's a dumb idea, don't do it. Or they're surprised that you're not doing better, and so they're no help, you know, with the emotional side of it. And so, you know, it's a real kind of make it or break it moment in your business. And you can kind of buckle down and go, okay, well, how do I do this right? And I would say there's a whole lot of different ways to do it right. We're going to talk about some next steps. But if you don't like these next steps that we provide, or you don't like the way we talk about doing print on demand, that's totally cool. There are other shows now out there. There's other YouTube. There's tons of YouTubes out there. Find somebody that you that you connect with.
Yeah,
it resonates with you. And then just stick with that model. Don't jump around from podcast to podcast and decide, well, I'm going to follow this guy's advice. Oh, well, that didn't work. Now I'm going to follow this person's advice. No, that didn't work. No, that's a recipe for burnout. It really is.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, talking about past episodes, you know, we, episode 170, we actually talked about the four different types of entrepreneur spouses. And so if you're in that space where your partner is like, is or is not in, and what do we do, and how are they going to receive this? We broke down the different types that are the four of the, not, there's not just four, but, in general, kind of in those categories. And then also in terms of next steps, one of the things that is vital, is establish a solid strategy for social media. And on episode 189, we talk about marketing your brand and talk a little bit more about social media, the 80-20 rule and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know more about that as well, you can certainly go and listen to that. But just some ideas or some strategy in the outset is, you know, decide which channel or channels you want to go all in on. Yeah. Especially when you're starting out, you have to, you know, you have to understand you're going to make content for, these platforms, and some content is formatted differently. Some platforms are strictly video, like TikTok. Others are picture and video, like Instagram and the Reels side of things, but decide which one to kind of go all in on and kind of craft your look, the aesthetic, some uniformity in terms of branding, colors, you know, the 80-20 rule. Get a good rhythm in that before you kind of then just take that formula and start spreading it out to the other platforms. Because if you do 5-6 platforms at once, it's a lot. It's a lot. You're going to burn yourself smooth out if you start with that. Pick one, maybe two, and just start perfecting your approach and figuring out what kind of content you want to make. You have a content calendar of, you know, ideas in the future that you want to produce to help kind of give you a roadmap. And then as you begin to expand channels, you can use calendar posting applications like Buffer, Later, Hero Post. There's a handful of them out there. You can connect multiple platforms and then upload it once and then have it distribute to all the platforms individually. But at first, pick one or two, whether it's TikTok and Instagram, whatever that looks like for you, and figure out what the approach is and kind of get settled in there.
Yeah. I mean, we're giving hey, you know, you could use a posting calendar like Buffer or whatever. And you know, the whole point or the whole, one of the problems with the rookie stage is like tool overwhelm, you know? So, you know, it's probably better that you just pick one or two, like you said.
Yeah. And if you
don't worry about that app, that's going to help you post. Yeah. And if you use that way later.
Yeah. If you do Instagram and Facebook, you can connect those two and post on Instagram. It goes to Facebook. So that functionality is built in, and then you automatically have two platforms that you'll post to all the time. So that's a good place to start. And then kind of go and expand from there.
Yeah. I mean, just to kind of put a bow on the social media thing, the 80-20 rule that Josiah was talking about, we do go in more into it in that episode that he referenced, but it's trying to not be a commercial, basically. Do 80% educational or interesting content or funny content or whatever, and only 20% of sales. Don't do an ask. You know, so for every 5 posts that you make, only ask for something or make a request in one of those. So that's going to get, you're going to be more likely to get followers that way, as opposed to every single post is like a t-shirt picture. You know, I don't know how many freaking Instagram accounts we get following us that are just like, I'm a designer. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. I don't care what you can do. I'm focused on me, not you, you know? So you need your posts to focus on your potential customers. And then every once in a while, throw an ask in there or show something that you're doing. And that's the strategy that you need to figure out for your specific niche.
Another thing you can do, kind of next steps, is begin listing. We talked about this, I believe, last week or last couple of weeks. Begin listing products that can be personalized to kind of expand your offerings and develop that system, you know, with your designer to get that all squared away. But offering personalized products can open a whole new kind of revenue stream, because there's people out there looking for customization. And if you're not doing that yet, consider it, because you'll get some of that traffic to your product as well, or to your listings as well. So,
yeah, offering personalized products can really be a quick win for you. You know, as opposed to just, especially on Etsy. I mean, I think that you, a store that launches with 100 just regular designs versus a store that launches with, you know, 50 designs, but those are able to be personalized. My guess is that the one that does, I mean, if all things are equal, the one that launches with the fewer designs, but they're able to be personalized, is very likely to get more sales. Now, it's more work, but you can also charge more because it's personalized. Yeah. So definitely, definitely good way to get those orders up, get that order count up, is to allow for personalization. And then the next thing would be, you know, establish your, you know, give yourself some benchmarks. What does a successful week look like? You know, use our design calendar from printondemandcast.com/VIP from our email list. Give us your email. We'll give you a design calendar. And establish a benchmark. Is it going to be 10 listings a week? Is it going to be 25 listings a week? How many of those are going to be personalized? You know, and then don't obviously kill yourself with this. And that's why, you know, but you do need to hold yourself accountable, or need somebody to hold yourself accountable. So you're at least doing something. You need to do, have some benchmark of how many listings you're actually going to list every single week. And you know, there's no pressure here, but it needs to be something. So even if it's three, just make yourself do three. And that can keep you motivated over time, you know, especially if you're doing them personalized and you're starting to see some sales, that can get you motivated. And then maybe you're going to do five, and then you're going to do 10, you know, and there's a lot of ways you can scale those winning designs as well that we talked about, I believe, last week as well. So, man, we are just a wealth of information, Josiah.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. Look at us go.
We're sharing a lot of good stuff. Look what we can do. is what
we I wish you had that soundbite.
I know, me too. It's such a good soundbite, and I love it. The other thing you can do as well, kind of rounding out some next steps, is of course begin uploading listings to a second marketplace. So if you're on Amazon, go to Walmart. If you're on Walmart, go to Etsy, you know, or go to Amazon. But you already have those assets, and we talk about maximizing assets all the time. So maximize the assets and start listing in other places, because you've done the work once. So now do the process of uploading them to the new platform, and then you'll automatically be, you know, doubling potentially, and I guess in theory, doubling the amount of sales that you do get, because you're going to be having the same offerings on two different platforms.
Yeah, I did a solo episode in 184 called "Why Aren't You Selling Here Yet?" And it's really all about Amazon and moving to the Amazon Seller Central platform, not the merch platform.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, you can, you know, check that episode out. But that's a great platform to expand to if you're only on Etsy and you're wanting to kind of take this to the next level. That would be my number one thing for you to really kind of focus on in this interim time, you know, continuing to list on Etsy, continuing to build your catalog of designs and products, but simultaneously looking at very seriously at starting out on Amazon and putting some products up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else, Travis, as we kind of end out the next steps that we want to touch before we wrap this one up?
I mean, the last thing would just be, you know, do a serious or maybe even have somebody else, have a friend do a serious audit of your actual listings.
Yeah.
You know, are your mock-ups good? Are they not good? Are they just okay? How can you improve them? And this is definitely a per channel discussion because Etsy mockups look different than Amazon mockups, and different than Walmart mockups. And so have somebody kind of give you some feedback because maybe you do need some better mockups. And then if you have great mockups, you have great listings and you're still not getting any traffic, well, maybe it's some of the keywords. So maybe you need to dig into, you know, an Everbee or another one of those tools and look up what similar listings are doing as far as keywording their successful listings and take some of that and change out some of your titles, maybe scale some of your designs. You know, if you do get a sale, go after a different, you know, we talked about this last week, but go after a different demographic, you know, in there. So there's a lot of things that you can do to kind of break out of this rookie stage into the next stage, but it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take dedication and it's going to take patience.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're here to help you every step of the way in that process into the next phase. And so seriously, reach out to us if you guys have any questions, if you have any other things that are like ideas that you just need someone to listen, bounce off of, do an audit, whatever that looks like. We're happy to help you guys as well. We love interacting with all of you that listen to the show. One way that you can interact with us is, of course, is going to printonamancast.com/VIP. And that's where you'll get more tips, more tricks, more insights. Of course, I told you the bonus dad joke this week. It's a third bonus dad joke. You're welcome. But you'll also get a design calendar in exchange for signing up for our newsletter, which will also help you kind of map out that content strategy, both from a design aspect of what you're going to be selling, from a social media aspect. You can know what holidays are coming up as well, make theme posts that are congruent with what's coming up in the country or on the calendar in terms of holidays. So again, printonamancast.com/VIP. We won't spam you. We won't bother you. We won't inundate you. It's one email a week. And you might learn some stuff that maybe we don't talk about on the show. Maybe it's like a paywall, but free. So free, free wall. I don't know.
A free wall?
A free wall. I said maybe. I don't know. That's a weird transition by making that joke, but we're here. So
pressure.
Thank you guys so much for listening this week to the show. Again, reach out to Travis and I. We'd be happy to help any way that we can. But until next time, for Travis, I'm Josiah. We'll see you right here on the Print on Demand cast.
See ya.
Hey, babe, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Print on Demand cast. We hope you enjoyed the Totally Tubular show. If you got a question or a suggestion for the show, send Travis and Josiah an email at info@printondemandcast.com. Want to be wicked nice? Take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next time for sure.
In a world where businesses everywhere are trying to make print-on-demand sales, one podcast goes above and beyond every week to bring the most POD-specific information there is, all to help save the day, every day. Don't succumb to the enemies of your print-on-demand business. Sign up today for the Print on Demand Cast VIP email at printondemandcast.com/VIP. This time, it's for real.